You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
There is a place where time stands still, where nature is harsh and demanding, where only the quick and the strong and the deadly can survive. This place is no place for civilized man.
I want my land.
Took it in the guts, Barry.
Far away from my
home. All you've got to do now is pass the Australian culture test. Three simple questions, three correct answers,
did you get all this
and
together?
You go through that doorway to the greatest little country in the world.
Good morning, everybody. This is Annie for Showreel. It's 3CR's look at the Australian film industry, and today we're going to look at a film called True South. It's been put together by Match Point and Heckler, and the director is David Kelber. He's the director, and it's been created and produced by Will Alexander, founder of the independent creative studio Heckler. He is a close friend of the Winning and Dean families since childhood. They, as you can hear from the conversation that I have with both Dave and Will, the film is all about sailing the Sydney to Hobart yacht race, which of course is a very elite kind of event, but it's also about the 25th anniversary of the disastrous 1998 Sydney to Hobart race, where six sailors lost their life, and one of those sailors was actually the father of the Dean family, and this film is chronicling the personal loss as well as the family bond between the Winnings and the Dean families. Herman Winning is the CEO of Appliances Online. It's a very, very big company, and this film chronicles the connection between the two families, the boys as kids as well as adults, as they take this cathartic journey in the most recent Sydney to Hobart races. It's getting a release today, the 5th of March, and is getting a cinema release, but as Will Alexander tells us at the end, it's also going to be released on Netflix. So this is my chat with the director, David Kelber, and the creator and producer, Will Alexander, True South.
Just to give context to people who are listening, True South is about the Sydney to Hobart race, a yacht race, but it's actually contextualised by a 25-year anniversary of the terrible events in 1998 when six sailors were killed during the terrible cyclone kind of conditions that were happened. I know that, Will, you are a friend, a family friend of the Winners. Did you go to Herman with this idea or to make a film, or did Herman come to you to make this film?
Yes, Herman came to me, Annie, it sort of came out of the blue, really. The concept that was presented to me was that the Comanche, which is the world's most powerful supermaxi, which was chained up at a dock in Antigua, was being acquired by Herman Winning. They were going to take this audacious journey back over the Atlantic through the Panama Canal and sail it back to Sydney to get it ready for the Sydney to Hobart yacht race that year. I thought that was a compelling story. We found a young cinematographer at a pub, an Aussie kid in a pub sitting over there, because I went, we must document that journey, that voyage back across two oceans through the Panama Canal. And it wasn't until the first day of filming that Nathan Dean, who is I also grew up with, so I did grow up with Herman and Nathan. And when Nathan, and I hadn't seen Nath in a very long time, maybe 10 years, I reckon. And when he arrived on set for the first day, and Herman hadn't briefed me on any of this, I might add, suddenly the penny dropped, and I was like, okay, this isn't just about winning the Hobart on a powerful yacht. There's something much deeper at stake here. So that's really changed the whole trajectory of the production on day one.
Okay, all right. And so you've got a new independent creative studio called Hecla, and so this is a major project for you, right?
Yeah, Hecla's been around since 2010, but it's our first feature film as the production company and the studio on it. So yes, traditionally we're a post house, and we've worked on other feature films, but predominantly we're an advertising visual effects house. So this was our first foray, putting our toe in the water, pardon the pun, into feature film production. So yeah, it's our first independent feature as a studio.
So you're quick on your feet, quite clearly. And so did you then go to Dave to be the director of
Yeah.
this?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, because I can see from Dave's background, I thought it was really great the way the way you promote yourself as a comedy, adventure, and performance filmmaking, because the discussion around non-scripted documentary when you're talking about True South is a real crucible, isn't it? I mean, it's just a fantastic. Not only have you got this personal story that's incredibly emotional, you've got a whole range of people who are incredibly taciturn and high achievers who, in one curl of the lip, are exposing an enormous story that's behind the scenes, as well as not many people actually know what it would actually be like to be sailing in such a boat on such treacherous waters. So tell me about how long it took you to come up with all the elements to make the film, because it's a great story, but telling it in a filmic way is another story altogether, isn't it, Dave?
Look, it is, and it was a massive undertaking, and I think something that when Will called me and we started talking about it, we had grand plans, and oh yeah, we can do this and we can do that and everything, but I don't think it was until we actually started we realized how big an undertaking it was. I think, the fact of even just filming on boats, with cameras and waves and salt water and everything, is it's huge. And the vision that we had for it was I wanted to do something that was very different, and film boats like they'd never been filmed before. There's always, everyone's seen sailing, and it's always been from the safety of a land or from a boat or something. We really wanted to get in there and get into the sailors' heads and bring the viewer onto the boat with us. And that was a very big part of our outline of doing that, and having a great cinematographer with Tim Kindler. And we developed a lot of camera rigs, we developed a lot of processes of being able to shoot things and get the camera into places that haven't really been seen before. That was one element of it. I guess the other big element was the people and these sailors, and you touched on it. So the sailing world's a very closed book. Everyone keeps everything pretty tight to themselves, and it took a long time for me to earn their trust and for them to really open up. And I think we did that, and it's quite interesting that they started off as talent and people on the boat, and now they've become, for want of a better word, family. Like, we're really tight, and with Nath and Herman and all of the guys, it really is testament to them opening up to us.
Yeah, because I was going through it in my head as I was watching it. There's strands running through the film, so you've got the people, you've got the emotional story, you've got the sailors. You actually go and talk to you. You obviously decided that it was important to let viewers understand the enormity of sailing in the Southern Ocean. So you actually go to Jessica Watson, for example, the person who sailed around the ocean by herself, and the drama, putting it together. So it's the cinematography, but it's also the editing, isn't it?
Look, the post team on this film had an enormous job. I mean, we filmed for nearly 8 months. So there was reams and reams and hours of footage that needed to be trawled through, and then that all needed to come together in a story. And we had such a great team that Will had put together in the back end of editing and post-producing and storytelling, and being able to collaboratively bring the story together and keeping true to the backbone of the story.
So when you were creating the world that you're making in the film, I mean, there's the real world, but then there's the world in the film. How did you decide to layer it into the whole? What I'm talking about is you've got characters, and they are really strong people, really strong characters. Like Herman is a really strong character, but he's not a person that requires everybody to be looking at him, and that's his strength. He brings other people together, and you bring other people together to make the film. There's something about the way the people are in the film and the film itself, which seem to be symbiotic. Would that be?
I think it's really spot on. Absolutely, it is. Herman leads from I mean, he goes so deep. He's got a head of neuroscience on his key team as an advisory, and he ran this whole personality test on the team and with us as the filmmakers in the process. So in pre-production, so it was really fascinating how he puts a high performance team together and the level. Like, he's fascinated by psychology, and it goes to show a head of neuroscience. And he's even developed an app called Deep Sphere, which is all a personality kind of test, which when you've got a huge organization as they do, 4,000 staff, or don't quote me on that, but it's many thousands of people. How do you bring all those individuals together to pull in the same direction? So that's really Herman's art, and very much like, we lived and breathed with the crew. So we were very much part of that, an extension of the team. Not always the most popular extension of the team, Annie. They didn't love us poking and prodding them, and trying to get big, tough, burly blokes to be vulnerable was probably our biggest challenge. I mean, aside from the logistics and hanging off the side of boats, risking our lives trying to capture these things because they are really dangerous. But it was also really hard, both from big, tough guys who don't talk about feelings, full stop. And then also these kind of big public figures also who have these really big egos, but they're, like Dave alluded to earlier, they're really private in their personal lives, and they've got these big personas on camera to the press, and it's quite media trained and slick. But getting them to open up about something really tragic and showing any sense of vulnerability we just had to shoot them for times and time. We had to keep going back and poking them a lot. And sometimes they didn't love us for doing that. But eventually, it was they understood what we were trying to achieve, at least enough. But then the reaction after watching the film at the premiere was enormous, that they actually understood the true depth that we were trying to get, that this human story was enabling themselves to go places they wouldn't normally go, I think had a very big effect, particularly on Nathan Dean. It was huge.
Yeah, I was going to say you really struck gold with the earlier footage, archival footage that the mum shot. That was what gold was that?
She's incredible. Dave, you might talk to that a bit.
Yeah, look, the whole Winnings family, they're amazing. And just taking on from what Will was saying, is they let us in. I think we earned their trust, and from doing that, then the family let us in. And Kerry Winning, who filmed all of that, the stuff that you're talking about, was just fabulous. And she's the family matriarch, and she holds everything together. And she literally just let us run wild in their life. And she documented their life quite considerably with photographs and those videos that we had in the film. And it was just fascinating. And you couldn't help but be emotional yourself. And I think that's what anchored a lot of the film, is allowing us to feel it, and then us being able to get that back out of all of the talent and all of these tough guys that, you know, that Will spoke about, and I guess earning their trust and allowing them to really come to the fore. And you know, none more so than Nathan and Pete Dean. They were just exceptional of how they came across and told their story, which they hadn't done for 25 years, really.
Yeah, it's a pretty heartbreaking story. Kerry's shots are really interesting, because generally speaking, people in that situation don't let the camera run for as long as she allowed it to run. I found that really fascinating, that she really encapsulated the joy of those kids, but she let a camera go. So you see it through its full arc. It's pretty extraordinary.
It was unbelievable. I've never seen, she became, you know, there's a lot of footage of Kerry's personal, and she was, yes, the filming is unique because it's a window into a world that you would otherwise never get to see. And the fact that she had all that stuff and it was all, you know, beautifully available, a lot of it was. She did go digging around under houses, and the length, she kept every press clipping, you know, she's just an archivist. So she's a wonderful vault of history. And she became really critical to advising us, because even though I was mates with the boys, we were all quite young when the tragedy happened, and then we all went off our separate ways. So she really was the historian, and in terms of keeping things accurate, and she became a real compass for us and a guide, and to get the true heart and soul of those boys and that joy that they experienced pre-98 was something truly special, that we were allowed, firstly, access to that stuff, and that she was able to put her hands on it all these years later was marvellous. And, yeah, it wouldn't be half the film it is today without Kerry Winning.
Yeah, I think so. Quite a fascinating sort of use of personal with a major feature milieu. Pretty extraordinary, I'd have to say. The other thing about it is, it struck me that it's a real expose of male culture, actually, of a particular sort. And I was really blown away, because I was brought up by the sea. I was really blown away by the fact that they would say, as young chaps, they didn't have much respect. I mean, Ian Murray says when he was 19, he hadn't realised how that he should show the sea the respect. And I thought, oh my God. That's, I mean, I used to row on Lake Wendouree in Ballarat, and it was like a sea, you know, and it was supposed to be calm. And I'm thinking, God, it's sort of a vague lack of imagination. Is that required?
There's definitely an adventurous spirit amongst that crew, and it filters all the way through. And I think there is, you know, why do people want to do this race? You know, knowing what is possible, you know, in particularly in Bass Strait, one of the most treacherous stretches of water on the planet. Ian Murray calls it, you know, Australia's Bermuda Triangle. There's thousands of sunken vessels that haven't made it. And knowing that, you know, these freak weather patterns do occur, you know, we had one in 98, we had one with Jess coming back around after a circumnavigation. She hit the same low pressure system there, and how she managed, I mean, that's a miracle that she managed to survive that in that little Elabashay little shitter. That was, it was 80 foot waves. So what drives these sailors, you know, is it have they got a bit of salt water in their veins? We kind of joke about this stuff, but what makes them want to do it? There's no prize money. Yes, there's some bragging rights, but it is, it's tough, it's wet, it's cold, it's grueling. And you're sitting on the side of a boat for hours and hours and hours on end, getting smashed on these really, you know, thing. Everything on these boats is dangerous. Like they're high tensile wire, carbon fiber. They're wicked up. Like there's so much force going on these things. And what drives that kind of spirit to want to do that and turn up and do it multiple times again? So, I think there is something. There's a real. I mean, the boys talk about Ian, him and Herman have this similarity, like they love taking big risks, right? So there's something about that. And I think there's a real adrenaline side to them in there. And Herman's very much like that. I know Herman since he was seven, and he would launch himself off stuff. He was fearless. There was this fearless kind of bravado. And he's still got that. He still jumps out of planes in wingsuits and all these kind of extreme sports really suits his persona. So maybe that's part of the attraction to those two. But there is definitely there was definitely some high octane individuals in and amongst it. Again, not all of them, and that personality test showed that. Sam Fay's a lot more measured and a lot more conservative and a lot more structured and routine. Herman's got this kind of on a wing and a prayer, but if he wants to win, if he puts his mind to something, everyone wrote him off and said, you're never going to beat Wild Oats in this race and you're this upstart. And the same is in his business, Annie. When everyone said appliances online, Jerry Harvey came out and said, e-commerce is a fad. You're never going to make it. Very publicly shamed him. And Herman went, righto, well, watch this. And appliances online was born. And so it goes to his DNA about who he is as a person. There is something quite anti-establishment about Herman. And he likes sticking it to the man and proving himself. He's got this real need to both be part of the establishment, but also kind of challenging it, which is a really interesting, he's a very layered guy. So he's a really interesting character.
Match Point is they're doing the distribution and they're correct. a new people on the block. So tell me a little bit about that.
So Matt Saulis and Lisa Garner, they're veterans in the distribution world. So Matt used to run Icon Films and Transmission Films. So they're not new to the industry, but this is their new entity. And they were the only distribution company in Australia that really understood. Usually we'd get, oh, you've got a bunch of rich white guys going sailing, shut the door. So no one wanted, I pitched it and I couldn't get to my human story because it was like, you don't tick any of the boxes. So I couldn't get funding. So Heckler had to independently finance this film. So it was a huge gamble on that front. But I believe there was an iconic Australian story that audiences would resonate with. And so I just had to keep that every day just as my guiding principle that we would get there. And eventually Matt and Lisa came along and it was just fortuitous. They knew exactly what to do with it. They were like, this has to open at the open air cinema. We were the only Aussie film at the open air this year, which is incredible, and a little Aussie doco. And then they managed to get a national cinema release. So we're in every state and territory. And we've just signed a deal with Netflix. So it just goes to show that when people say we got every door literally slammed in our faces, we don't need this film, thanks. It's an elitist sport. It's obscure. Audiences won't watch it. And we sold 1,400 tickets at open air. So, you know, there you go.
And now the rest is history. Thank you very much for spending some time with me.
It was lovely to chat, Annie. Thank you so much.
And that's Dave Kalber, director and creator and producer, Will Alexander of True South, as they explain what it was all about. It's got a theatrical release starting today, and as they also said, it's going to be out on Netflix. And before we finish up the program and go into Published or Not, just a reminder that the 10 years of changing the frame, Melbourne Women in Film Festival returns to champion women and gender diverse filmmakers, and they're running from March the 9th to the 23rd. It's going to be at the Acme and Federation Square. The program brings together, as they say, bold works from Australia, Aotearoa, New Zealand and Pacifica. And over 4 days, audiences can look forward to premiere screenings, restorations, creator conservations and conversations and hands-on workshops, and in an impressive celebration of diverse perspectives and the homegrown visionaries shaping the screen industry's future. So put it in your diary, March the 19th to the 23rd. You might be particularly interested to know that there's a special 4K restoration. MWFF co-presents Jane Campion's electrifying debut feature, Sweetie, which first came out in 1989 and in partnership with ACME and the National Film and Sound Archive. So there you go. Put it in your calendar, as I said. It's running from March the 19th to the 23rd. Coming up next is Published or Not, and we'll play a little bit of a very sweet song.
Oh, good long while, and then good long while, meme na magara. Yo 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 yo.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.